is under attack. This is the War Room.
We'll get into the Venezuela situation later. I want to get back into this J.D. Vance situation. And, I mean, it's standard. Democrats just lie about their opposition. And then I guess Swalwell admits he doesn't understand how the tax system works at all. Nobody has suggested raising taxes on single women. Just completely made up out of thin air. Or he really doesn't understand the child tax credit. I don't know. It could go either way. But they're attacking him with these lies, and then they're saying he's weird and creepy. That's their thing, is he's weird. Vance is weird was the trend on social media. I think Vance should just lean into it. That's what I'd do. I'd just lean right into it. And you can maybe play it off against D.C. and say, yeah, well, you know, D.C. is a bunch of corrupt scumbags that steal your money and start wars. So, yeah, I guess I'm weird because I don't want to steal your money and start a war. But that's, I don't know, that might be too much. Or just lean in and say, yeah, I'm a little weird. Everybody's a little weird. Just lean in. But liberals, they love being weird. Liberals bring dudes with plastic breasts to the White House to flash the cameras. Kamala Harris was just posing with a bunch of trans men. You just saw what the French did at the Olympics. We'll have more on that coming up. So the left, what do you mean? The left owns weird. The left are the weirdos. I mean, one look at Eric Swalwell. That guy's a freak. But no, Vance is weird. It's like probably as normal as it gets is Vance. Oh, he has a woman problem, says Jen Psaki on clip 7.
So it's become abundantly clear that J.D. Vance has a problem with women. And when more women find out what he really thinks of them, my bet is they may have a problem with him too. Especially when they hear things he has said like this.
Your propaganda.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
It's all over the world.
Even Tucker Carlson looks a little confused there. I mean, first of all, J.D. Vance really has no right to question why anyone doesn't have kids, whatever their reason may be. It's none of his business whether a woman is childless.
Now pause it, because this is what they always do. He's not questioning why anybody doesn't have kids. He's saying we have people running the world and running the country that don't have kids. They have no investment in the future. They haven't had these certain instincts and intuitions when you have a kid kick in yet. They don't have it. They're still very selfish people. So that's what he's saying. But see, they just lie and they just misrepresent. But what he said there is irrefutable. By the way, Pete Buttigieg and his husband, what's his husband's name? Chasten. They adopted a child, and Chasten, you want to talk about weird? He got into full-on medical gear and sat in a medical bed like he just gave birth. And had put on a rubber nipple like he was a woman. Is that not weird? How many people adopt a child and then say, I'm going to put on a medical gown and sit in a medical bed and put on a rubber nipple and take a picture? Like I just gave birth. You're cosplaying. You're LARPing. You want to talk about weird? It's two gay dudes adopting a kid and then pretending they just gave birth. That's weird. That is strange. But here's what everybody's missing about J.D. Vance, and it hit me. And everybody's missing this. And it's going to go against everything the Democrats are telling you, or they've realized it, and that's why they're doing this. Oh, J.D. Vance is going to have a female problem. J.D. Vance is going to be bad for women voters with Trump. Not so fast, folks. It's actually the opposite. Why? Because J.D. Vance reminds a lot of women out there, specifically their 50s and 60s maybe 40s too, J.D. Vance reminds them of their sons. And they're going to be voting for J.D. Vance because he reminds them of their sons.
Please pray for InfoWars. Please pray for the crew. And I'm so thankful to the crew. They're doing such a great job. I'm so thankful to Owen and to Chase and to all the rest of the crew and Rob Duver here with me. right now. We are one family together, black, white, old, young, you name it, in the fight for liberty against the New World Order. Thank you so much for your past support. And I humbly ask for your support now. If you go to InfoWarsStore.com, where the big Save InfoWars sale is going with X2 and X3 and DNA Force Plus, Nitric Boost, all these other incredible game-changing products. Also, the great line, a dozen products under InfoWars MD, private labeled from a top manufacturer in the country. They said, hey, we'll let you have our whole line, and then we'll ship it for you. We'll do it all. It's all drop ship. All our products are selling out. We're out of money completely. But because of InfoWars MD, they have basically unlimited for us, so that now when you buy InfoWars MD, you're getting great, excellent, amazing products that are across the board for your supplement needs, and they then keep us on the air. InfoWars MD.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we're now joined by Mike Adams. Now, unfortunately, Mike is having a technical error, and we're unable to get his video feed, but he has crystal clear audio, and I'm told that he can still see our video. And so, as we're playing some of this video, the new video from the assassination attempt from that day and some of the other videos, and I don't know if Mike has some videos that he wants to point the crew in the direction of. He can still see and do commentary over the video. We just can't see him. So we'll deal with that. But that's what's going on. And so Mike Adams joins me now. Well, Mike, I suspected that we would get more video, HD video, from July 13th. We now have more. I would suspect that there's still yet more to be seen. But now with the text messages and this latest video, it's about a 10-minute video of about 5 minutes before the first shot is fired, where everybody knows there's a shooter on the roof. They're running around like crazy, ducking behind trees, saying, get down. Police are running around, scampering around, trying to find him. Everybody knows this. And Trump is still on the stage. And you juxtapose that with the text messages that we now have from Secret Service, where they know there's a suspected individual who's on the loose that they can't locate, and Trump is still on the stage. That was 30 minutes before the first shot was fired. With all the other prior research you've done and this new information available, Mike, where is your head at in regard to the assassination attempt on Donald Trump?
Well, it's great to join you, Owen. Thanks for having me on. And what's very clear now is that, I mean, yes, as you said, more videos are coming out. We're finding very interesting frames, a lot of questions in these videos, possibly the visual signature of another rifle burst. We're still looking at that. Some people think it might be a reflection. We're not sure yet. But there's also an audio signature that's interesting. But as you say, the number one thing is clearly law enforcement knew that there was somebody on top of the building. They were looking toward the roof. They knew that there was a threat that was within about 150 yards of Trump, and they allowed Trump to continue speaking. So what happened to the security protocols? Because if you have an active threat, especially somebody that has been seen with a rifle, someone who even the crowd, the attendees were saying, eventually they said, you know, he's got a gun. Lots of people saw him. He was highly suspicious. If you're on a roof, the roof is uncovered. It's obviously a perch for shooting. And yet they allowed Trump to take the stage. So, Owen, I've come to the conclusion this was an inside job. This was allowed to happen. And I'm not saying that every member of law enforcement is to blame or that all of them were part of this. Most of them were not, just to be clear. Most members of Secret Service were not part of this. But all there needs to be is a small contingent of people on the inside who are given orders to put this shooter in place and allow him to take those shots or even possibly shots from other locations. So that's what we know so far, Owen, as far as I can tell.
Well, and let me zoom out with you. I think we're getting more information as well in the aftermath of this, how Secret Service, I mean, essentially this could have possibly happened at any Trump event. It sounds like there was a protocol of a stand down with Secret Service. It sounded like the protocol from Secret Service dealing with Trump's detail and his events was we're going to have a tiny footprint and we're not going to prioritize at all. We might not even send counter snipers to the event. So it looks like this had been the standard for a while and they created the environment for this to happen. I mean, who knows how long that they had been creating this environment? Who knows how many other times a similar situation could have happened or maybe even did happen, but somebody stopped it.
I'm going to add to what you just said. and say that this was more than creating an environment of opportunity. This was, I believe, walking the patsy through the steps to get him into position. Somebody cleared the roof. Somebody gave this patsy the information to know which roof to get on top of. See, that's the question here. How did he know where to go to take the shot? Why did he have a rangefinder with him? I believe, Owen, and I can't yet fully back this up, but I believe that the patsy, Crooks, I believe he thought this was a training exercise. And that they got him out of bed that morning and said, hey, come on down, buddy. We got a training exercise. We'll give you some more Bitcoin. You know, they set up his overseas Bitcoin wallets so they could attack Bitcoin. And they said, here, come on down. Bring the rifle. We'll give you a rangefinder. Bring the drone. And you're going to help us assess the security vulnerabilities. You get to play like cops and robbers with us. And it's going to be a fun day. Trump's going to be there. So this is going to be a really fun thing. That's probably what they told the guy. That's my guess. I can't prove it. But that video you're showing there from Real DJ Stu, that's one of the newest video clips. Very interesting because it was taken so close to the building. So it confirms the audio signatures of so many of the other shots that we have analyzed. And then there's one frame in there, which I posted about yesterday, which is very difficult to find, that appears to be the rifle flash and an audio signature of someone firing from the first floor, an office at the first floor. But it's still a lot of questions about that. So we're looking into it.
Yeah. And I would just say quickly, you know, my first response to that, because I've seen other people mentioning that, my first response to that would be, I mean, that was the headquarters for Secret Service and law enforcement. I mean, so if you're talking about somebody on the roof as ridiculous enough that somebody's on the roof of the building they're situated in, if somebody's firing out of the window, I mean, now we're talking about it's even more ridiculous. I will look forward to your further analysis on that. I don't know if you want to comment further.
Well, I do. I want to add one other thing because some people have said, well, they can't see that the window was open. Well, let me mention this because, you know, I've trained with a lot of veterans, a lot of special forces, and also, you know, I'm trained as a hobby long range target shooter for steel targets, right? Ballistics and so on. And so I've trained with people who have been professional snipers. And what they say is, look, when they were out, you know, being deployed, they would sit back inside a room. And if possible, they would remove the window. And in place of the window, they would put either a screen or a cheesecloth so that they could not be seen from the inside, but they could see out. So with a cheesecloth or a window, like just a wire screen, you can see out. You can fire through those things. You can fire through a dark cheesecloth, or you can fire through a window screen without much deflection versus glass. You don't want to fire through glass because that has very strong deflection. But all the professional snipers, SWAT team guys, or guys that were in the sandbox who are listening to this, you know, you can fire through cheesecloth. And they did all the time, and they would sit back inside the room so that they couldn't be seen. That's how they did it. That's how they did it in, you know, Afghanistan.
Well, and I think the most important window to discuss is the second story window, and to ask, if this is the law enforcement Secret Service headquarters and you have men at that second story window, then how the hell is Crooks up there for 10 minutes without being stopped? I mean, again, it just leads us right back to the issue of a stand down. But okay, with this new footage that we're seeing now, again, what I mean, I don't know all the law enforcement protocols. You would think that there'd be a line of communication between Secret Service and the local police that's there that now know there's a shooter on the roof at least 5 minutes before the first shot is fired. But how is it, again, I'm amazed that there's no deterrence. There's nothing trying to deter him from shooting at this point in time for 5 minutes. I mean, even just firing a shot into the air. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but it's like no deterrent at all. Nothing.
Yeah. This also speaks to the lack of comms between local law enforcement there and Secret Service. And as you saw in recent videos, I think it was ABC News that got some of the local police together. They said the Secret Service skipped the morning meeting. So they did not have the meet. They did not have the comms. And, you know, Owen, I'm sure you've interviewed people. Normally in those kind of meetings, you would confirm things like your comms frequencies. Like, we're going to be on this frequency. This is our A frequency and this is our B frequency.
I mean, it's like first thing and the last thing you do. I mean, I'm sure you've been to events like that. Whenever I go out with my security team, that's like 101. Absolutely. And you double you triple check it. I mean, it's like, yeah.
That's right. And you confirm who's going to cover which vulnerabilities. Here's a rooftop. Here's a water tower. Here's a tree. You know, here's a van, whatever it is. Those are opportunity places for potential shooters. You would absolutely cover all those. Now, I'm you're showing the roof video. This is really important. Did you see that there's brass on both the north and south side of this roof? So he was laying on the north side of the roof facing south. I'm talking about Crooks, right? So his rifle was pointed roughly south towards the Trump podium. But he was on the north side of a roof, and the roof, of course, is a pitched roof. Well, normally when you're firing a rifle, your brass goes in the same direction. Sometimes it's a 3 o'clock position out of the right side of the rifle. It might be a 2 o'clock, it might be a 4 o'clock, but it doesn't usually vary. You're not normally throwing brass forward and then backwards to the side at the same time. And yet the brass they say they found there, and it may not be in this shot or maybe later in the shot, but some of the brass was on the south side, which means the opposite side of Crooks, whereas some brass was found on the same side as Crooks. And then there's the question, Owen, I've raised this a lot, why is his rifle 7 feet away? If he was shot and killed instantly, and you can actually see his eyeglasses in this video down at the bottom in one of the frames, his glasses are very clear. It blew his glasses off, killed him instantly. How did his rifle get 7 feet away?
Well, right? I mean, the just to kind of answer the question, if I'm playing devil's advocate, well, it was still an active shooter situation, so we wanted to make sure he wasn't in range of his rifle. So let's just accept that for what it is at this point, but let's further on the conversation of, do you actually see brass in that video?
Yeah, I have seen brass in the videos. Actually, it's the videos released by Senator Grassley. And one of them's called, well, there's three of them. They're called Body Cam 1, 2, and 3. And in the Body Cam 2 and 3 videos, the brass is very clear. I think it's about the 24-minute mark of, I think, Body Cam 3, where there's a man. It's right after the Secret Service agent, the new guy, the black guy with the rust-colored cargo pants and a black shirt that says Secret Service, when he walks onto the roof. That's when local law enforcement starts counting the brass, and he counts them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think we have 8.
So they did recover all 8 brass from that roof.
That's what they claim. But again, they're on different sides of the roof. And the other thing you know about, you know, crime scene investigations, how come they didn't mark the locations?
Well, yeah, that seems crazy.
They were walking all over the crime scene. They had too many people, 7 or 8 people on that roof. Everybody walking around, maybe stepping on the brass, who knows? And then when they took the brass off, because there's a gap. There's a gap after the shooting before we get to the first body cam video, which is, I think, the video you're playing now. There's about a 30-minute gap, which means that this guy, the guy that whose body cam is playing here, this guy was not the first guy on the roof. So who was the first guy on the roof? And what did they see? We don't know.
Well, apparently, and these are all great questions, apparently the first guy on the roof is some guy that was in a suit that took the picture of the dead shooter. And then there was some mystery about who he was or what role he was. So really, right. Again, that's just a question. Of course, we don't get any answers from the Secret Service or the FBI. Now I will say, just to get back into the situation with the brass, if that is the shooter, and I would say, I mean, from my perspective right now, I would say that guy on the roof probably was the shooter. Now, there could be more information that changes my mind, but let's say he is the shooter, and you look at the shots that were fired, the first shot and then every other shot pulls to the left, but it's still within a very small degree. And so, like you were saying, the brass would end up in a very similar location, if not all in the same grate on that roof.
Right. Typically, that's the case.
It's not like he fired one here and then one way to the left or one way to the right. I mean, it was all right on virtually in a very, like, maybe 2 degrees at most.
That's right. And we were able to grab a really nice frame of that rifle in the sunlight from some of that body cam footage. And I ran it through an AI upscaling algorithm to add detail to it. And it's now very clear that the red dot sight is a 1X optic with a left side mounted AA battery holder, which is very typical for those type of red dot sights. It's clearly not magnified. and he still had his front sight deployed. You know, a lot of these iron sights are foldable. Clearly, he had his front sight deployed, and he may have had his rear sight up. So he may have had a co-witness situation, you know, where the iron sight's co-witness with the red dot sight, if he had, you know, if he had it all mounted correctly. So,
well, and we know he was at the range the day before, likely getting it all lined up.
Perhaps, yeah. That's very reasonable to think that. And it's also reasonable to think that he may be the only shooter. That's within the realm of possibility. We just don't know yet. But understand that shot, 150 yards with a 1X red dot, that's actually not such an easy headshot. Not at all. It is an easy headshot if you have like a 12X, you know, scope, or even a 6X, like a 6X or even up to an 8X variable optic would be very typical on a AR-15 rifle like that. But with a 1X, yeah, this is where they're about to count the brass, what you're showing. And if you can play audio, there he is. He's counting the brass in the audio right around there. You can see some of the pieces there. There you go. There it is. See how that's on the south side?
At least eight.
Yeah.
So what's interesting, what makes this all so much harder to do the analysis of is they move the rifle, okay? So it's harder to do the analysis. But also, why haven't they just presented the weapon to the public like we see in so many other crime scene press conferences where they just, here's all the evidence, like here's everything we've recovered, here's all the evidence. Not only have they not had a press conference, they haven't presented us with any of the evidence. We have to find what we can and then try to, you know, focus in on it or do AI enhancement images from the video we got from Chuck Grassley.
Well, yeah, but Owen, let me offer another scenario for all of this. Now, there is helicopter footage of the rooftop apparently before anybody got up there, and it shows the rifle far away where it is now. So I think that rifle was far from Crooks before anybody got on the roof, and I've seen the helicopter footage showing that. Another scenario then is that Crooks thought he was doing a training exercise. He crawls on the roof with the rifle. He's playing along, and that's why he doesn't appear nervous, because he's like, this is exciting. You know, I get to work with security guys, and I get paid to help them, you know, find vulnerabilities, whatever. But then, this is just a scenario. The first three shots ring out, and it's not Crooks, let's say. He goes, holy guacamole, Batman. This isn't a drill. And he tosses the rifle. And then, you know, five more shots ring out. And then, of course, there's a sniper shot that kills him. That's a possibility that he realized this wasn't a training exercise. I'm just saying, you know, we need to consider all the possibilities.
You know, that's an interesting thought. And I don't know if this was, if you're the first person I've heard suggest that. Because when this first happened and we were doing our first round of analysis, I was saying the same thing as you was, he had to have some sort of help as far as getting this shot lined up. I mean, it's just the odds that he's doing all this work himself to line up that shot and get that shot and know how to scale the roof and everything seems impossible. You know, now that we have more footage, I guess you could argue that, well, look, he's doing his recon that day. He's literally there doing the recon that day, lining everything up, deciding where to climb up. And so I guess you could maybe figure that. But then we draw to the next question was, well, how is he allowed to do that? You know, and so it's like it doesn't really change the perspective much. It just changes the, you know, why. So either he had help before to line up the shot, or somehow he had help that day to line up the shot.
Yeah. Well, I think he had help in saying, here's the building that's available. Here's where the ladder is. You're going to climb up on this roof. You're going to cross this junction between the two buildings, and you're going to get under this roof. I think it's very clear he was told what to do. And this is why when he is meandering around, and in all the footage now that we've seen and some of the photos from Secret Service, and we've seen the release of the phone text, you know, thanks to Senator Grassley, who's really pushing a lot of this information into the public space, we've seen Crooks walking around not at all nervous. He did not behave furtively, is the term. He did not think that he himself was about to kill the president unless he's so disconnected, you know, from reality that he could be such a sociopath that has no nervousness or emotion.
Or maybe on some pharmaceutical pills.
Possibly. Yeah, these are all possibilities. But I would say, Owen, that normally a person who was trying to kill the speaker or the president, I mean, the president speaking that day, a person trying to kill them would have behaved in a more cautious manner and not have been just walking around in the open.
Well, and I guess maybe you could say he was just killing time, right? I mean, maybe it's just he's waiting and he's just killing time, waiting for the president to get up there. And then as soon as he hears the music play, that's his cue to climb up onto the roof and get his shots lined up.
Well, I think that's probably the order he was given. It's killing time. You know, I mean, I think somebody told him, this is the time, do it.
It's unbelievable to think, though, again, and it goes right back to the question of how is it he's able to get on the roof? I mean, this isn't something that happens in 10 seconds. He has a bag. He's already being watched. He's already known as a suspicious individual. He has to scale the roof. He has to assemble his rifle, and then he has to line up the shot. This is at least 5, if not a 10-minute procedure between this beginning and the first shot being fired. It's unfathomable. It's unfathomable that he's able to do that without being stopped, to me.
Well, at the very minimum, this is a catastrophic failure of normal procedures of defense, and it also shows the Secret Service did not extend its concentric circles of protection out to the proper distances, didn't even include this building, which was really close in. And imagine if a shooter, crooks or otherwise, imagine if a shooter had a 4X optic, which is very typical on AR-15s, like an ACOG type of fixed 4X scope that has a little bit of a ballistics reticle in it. And you know how those reticles are. It shows you, you hold here for 100 yards, you hold here for 200, 400, 800, whatever. Then that would have made that shot very, very easy for anybody who had basic firearms experience.
Explain that a little further to people. It's like a zoom factor.
Yeah, right. So a typical ACOG scope or optic, which is used in the military, is fixed at 4X. And that's considered about the right magnification for most engagements with a 5.56 round. And normally in the reticle, it will have bullet drop already compensated and marked for typical grain rounds, like 55 grain or 62 grain. And you'll see horizontal hash marks in the scope with numbers beside them, 1, 2, 4, sometimes 6 or 8. And that means 100 yards, 200 yards, 400 yards, et cetera. So that's your hold. As long as you zero that rifle at the recommended zero range, which is typically 100 yards, then those holds give you very close to accurate hit points at those ranges. And that would have made that shot relatively simple because windage was almost no factor whatsoever at that range because the flight time. We did the math on the flight time and calculated that at only about 0.17 seconds. So wind does not affect bullets left or right very much in just 0.17 seconds.
All right. Mike Adams is my guest, and he's done a lot of analysis on his X account at Health Ranger. We take a break here, Mike. We'll be right back just to get further into this. But, folks, I think that there's still a lot more. I think we'll probably even get more text messages, more video, and we'll also make a big announcement about all of this on the other side of this break that you're not going to want to miss.
It's been sold out for a while. It is pure deep earth crystal iodine. It's so hard to make. You've got to have DEA approved labs to do it. And it takes months and months to break it down in this special patented process. Nobody else has true nascent iodine. They put it on the label, but it's still bound to other elements. And it's not fully absorbable by the cells. It's the missing link. Even the UN estimates 2+ billion people have cognitive disabilities because of iodine deficiency. Up until the 30s, we had major IQ reduction because of lack of iodine in the U.S. food supply, especially in the U.S. Midwest. From the 30s to the early 80s, the government put crappy iodine in the salt by law. And IQs went up 15 points on average. Burnt defects went way down. And then in the early 80s, they took it out again. This is the deep earth crystal pure, meaning atomic, on the atomic table. And it goes into the cells at a cellular level. Survival Shield X2, now available 25% off. InfoWarsStore.com. 5-star review. Or call toll-free 888-253-3139. This is a make it or break it moment, so I need people to connect those synapses in their brain for you to make a decision. If you don't support InfoWars, we will be shut down. And people say, well, they're constantly trying to shut you down. How are you still in the air? God. But God works through people. So we're in a paradox here where the judge says we're open for 3 more months. If we're able to get a buyer under the law, they won't be able to shut us down. I'll just work with somebody else. And that's coming. That's got to be set up. But in the meantime, if people believe the news that we're being shut down everywhere, which they tried to do and failed, by that foregone conclusion, we're shut down. And under the last federal bankruptcy manager who would not reorder product and killed all our advertising, who was positioning us to be shut down and tried to shut us down, we caught him. The judge caught him and fired him. We're almost sold out of all the products. All right? But we have a lot of great products that are still in stock, limited supplies. So I need you to go to InfoWarsStore.com. And we just had a donation button. Maybe we should just do that. You're fighting for freedom in a key election, battling the globalists. We need support. But we want a long-term relationship with you. We want to be symbiotic. We want you to get great products you like, get them delivered to you quickly, and enjoy them and have them empower you and make your life better so you love them and you keep getting them. We want a relationship. So there's the InfoWars MD line that I don't talk about enough that is all the highest quality, whether it's turmeric or whether it's natural sleep aid or whether it's saw palmetto, other compounds that are great for your prostate, also great for women's breast. It affects the same type of tissues that have those hormonal fluctuations. I'm not a doctor, but I read the literature. You need to go to InfoWarsStore.com and go to the sections that have the whole line, over a dozen products, InfoWars MD. We've got Ashwagandha Gummy. Relaxes you, makes you feel really relaxed with no downer feeling. Amazing. An incredible product. Good Night Sleep. We have a lot of great sleep aids. This one's excellent. They're all different formulas. People love it. Good Night Sleep. InfoWars MD. Ashwagandha with black pepper, which relaxes you and makes you lose weight. These are all concentrates. Joint Relief Max works really well. Great pain relief. Huge bottle of it. You know, jam-packed. It's there. Joint Relief Max. InfoWars MD. Prostate support. Already mentioned that. This is just a top formula. Super high quality. Organic. Nerve Renew. Amazing. To get your nerves, not to kill pain, but to get your nerves healthy. Nitric Boost. Vitamin Refusion about to sell out. About to sell out. Real Red Pill Plus. And something I never talk about and should talk about more, Probiotic Fiber. A super high-end product at a low price at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you all for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Deceptions. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, Mike Adams is my guest. We're not going to let the attempted assassination of Donald Trump leave the news cycle. They're trying to erase it now, and they're trying to erase the memory of it, and they're trying to erase the images of it right now with big tech. Well, no, we're not going to do that. And we're going to try to get the answers that the Secret Service, the FBI, and the DOJ refuse to give the American people. Now, here's the announcement I have to make. And this went through just moments ago. I heard from my lawyer. Myself and my lawyer have just filed a FOIA request to Secret Service and to the local police department there. Now, I don't want to read this whole thing. It's multiple pages, but I'll just give you some examples. In this FOIA request, all records maintained by the city of Butler or the bureau related to presidential Donald Trump's campaign event in Butler, Pennsylvania on July 3rd, 2024, and his attempted assassination, including but not limited to all records related to the selection of the date and the venue of the event, all records related to the preparation or planning for the event, all records reflecting procedures for protecting the health and safety of President Trump during the event, intelligence briefings and officer safety bulletins that were distributed to or from the Butler County Police Department in advance of the event. It goes on. Here's an important one. All video footage, including but not limited to surveillance camera footage, helicopter footage, and body camera footage recorded at or near the site of the event by the Secret Service agents, law enforcement, or any other members of security present at the event. All video footage obtained by or in possession of the Bureau, recorded at or the site of the event by members of the public or attendees of the event. All records of communication between the Bureau personnel on July 13th, 2024, including but not limited to radio communications, text messages, emails, etc. Now, there's a bunch more in this multi-page FOIA request, but I just wanted to give you a taste of what to expect. I'll have more on this coming up later. So, Mike, I've officially filed a FOIA request with my lawyer to the Secret Service and local law enforcement for all of this information. And I think that, unfortunately, the truth is it's going to come down to us to try to get down to the story that day, because the DOJ, the Secret Service, and the FBI are clearly covering it up.
Absolutely, Owen. And by the way, fantastic job filing that FOIA request. That's exactly what needs to happen. Just be ready for them. Of course, they're going to stonewall this as long as possible. They've done that for decades with the Oklahoma City bombing. Think about that. Still can't get some of those records. But we got to push hard. And also, we have to continue to use audio and video that's being released by various citizens there. And just like that new footage that came out yesterday, there are great researchers on this right now. I know Dr. Chris Martinson is working on this. I've done a lot of audio analysis. Unfortunately, we have not solved this mystery yet. There are a lot of possible theories. There's some contradictory evidence. We're trying to sort it out. This is what a citizen's investigation actually looks like. The difference is that we, the citizens, we're trying to find out the truth, while it's clear that our government is trying to cover up that truth. So there's the difference.
Yeah. You know, one big piece of information that's just despicable that Chris Wray refused to answer or didn't know. Either way, it's disgusting from Chris Wray. When he said to the committee he had spoken to the counter-sniper teams, and including the counter-sniper that fired the kill shot at the shooter on the roof, he was then asked where was the counter-sniper located. He said he didn't know. So again, that's either just despicable from Chris Wray that you wouldn't even get that piece of information, even though you interviewed and questioned the guy that took the kill shot from the shooter on the roof, and you wouldn't ask him where he took it from, or you would cover that up from the committee asking the questions. And I think what's interesting about this is you had Representative Corey Mills and Eli Crane on the far roof. So we all know about the roof that's closer to where the shooter was, where the Secret Service had two counter snipers right there, and they seemed to flinch at one moment. There's some conspiracy theories about why that happened. We don't have any answers there. We don't know if any law enforcement was fired on.
That's not normal behavior. When he kind of reset, almost pulled up his rifle, reset, he lost his optical focus in that moment. I still wonder why that happened as well. Was he taking, you know, incoming rounds or something? What do you think?
I don't know. And that's the unfortunate thing, is they won't tell us whether law enforcement was under fire, whether any members of law enforcement were under fire. I mean, if I'm just trying to make sense of all of it, I'd say, I mean, maybe he heard the first rounds come in and did an adjustment. I don't know. Maybe he heard one round, you know, shatter off the back of the bleachers and it just startled him a little bit. I mean, he wouldn't think that that would be the case. I don't know. But the reason I asked is because Corey Mills and Eli Crane, they went to shoot video from the other roof today, which makes me think they know that that's where the final shot or the kill shot of the guy on the roof was taken.
But here's the question about the counter sniper shot, which we currently mark that as shot number 10 in the entire sequence from what we can tell. That took place 16 seconds after the first shot was fired. Now, even if your rules of engagement are to not fire until fired upon, or, you know, until a shooter, an active shooter, opens fire, only then can you fire back. And that shouldn't be the rules of engagements, but by the way, but even if it was, it does not take an experienced sniper 16 seconds to find a target and put a round on target. A good sniper, Owen, can do that in less than 2 seconds. Plus, they already have him in their glass. They've been watching the guy. They've seen the movement on the roof. They had a perched position. They could have seen. We know they saw him. They were tracking him. So there's the question for you. Why did it take 16 seconds to do something that should have taken 2 seconds?
Well, and so there's a counter sniper team to the left and to the right of Trump. Everybody sees on the video the individuals we referenced a moment ago. If you guys would pull up the video I sent you of the Representatives Crane and Mills on the other side of the roof. What they display in this video is that, because you could say that the counter-sniper team, if you're facing Donald Trump to his left, if you're facing the stage to the left of Donald Trump, that their vision was impaired of the shooter because there was a tree in their line of sight. Well, Crane and Mills go to the other roof where the other counter-sniper team was located, and there is no impairment there. You can see it clear as day right to the other side, and these are the best snipers in the world. There's no way they didn't see that. And you know, and here's another thing too, and I want to get your response to that, but this is kind of another factor that people aren't talking about. Folks, with this new footage, there are people running around screaming, pointing, jumping up and down. Like, there's a clear disturbance, right? There's a clear disturbance going on in this area. People are going to look over there. Secret Service is going to look over there. Like, there's going to be attention drawn to that area for at least 5 minutes before the first shot is taken because of this clear disturbance. Again, it just begs the question, what is the lack of response due to?
Well, right. And in these scenarios, there's always a word, an action word, which is to pull the president, you know, pull him down, cover him. And, you know, that could be a different phrase. Let's just say it's apple pie. So any one of the cops could have just got on the radio, apple pie, like this is not safe. And then Secret Service would have jumped on Trump and they would have pulled him off the stage and that's all there would have been to it. But why did nobody make that call? And it's because somebody allowed this to happen. We have to keep coming back to that answer. Somebody allowed it to happen. We don't know the exact. Was it one shooter? Was it two shooters?
Mike, could somebody have been jamming communications that day?
Unlikely. That would have been reported separately if there was a total comms failure. It seems to be that there was just not comms coordination because the Secret Service skipped that morning meeting. And so maybe the cops were just talking to other cops and not even talking to Secret Service, possibly. That all needs to be looked at. That's why your FOIA request is really important. We need to know what frequencies and what messages were broadcast. And isn't it convenient that Cheadle says, well, we don't have any recording of the comms that day?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, and Jeffrey Epstein's cameras didn't work either. I mean, what a coincidence.
Perfect, right? Oh, we just don't have any communications. Yeah. I mean, folks, again, look. There's reasonable doubt, so let's just go with that kind of rule of law of the courts of reasonable doubt. And so, okay, we'll go with reasonable doubt, but I'm just going to tell you, when we have security teams, everything is recorded. I mean, they took all of our footage and audio from January 6th. We had to turn that because this is standard protocol, folks.
I have to say that I don't see a big solution other than some sort of mandatory vaccination. I know federal officials don't like to use that term.
Once people feel empowered and protected legally, you are going to have schools, universities, and colleges are going to say, you want to come to this college, buddy? You're going to get vaccinated. Lady, you're going to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Big corporations like Amazon and Facebook and all of those others are going to say, you want to work for us? You get vaccinated. And it's been proven that when you make it difficult for people in their lives, they lose their ideological bullshit and they get vaccinated.
So he's talking about making things more difficult. You know, if you want to get into college, if you want to do anything, right, you just get vaxxed and you can do whatever you want. Now, let's apply that to the economy and what we've talked about numerous times about central bank digital currency. If you want Social Security, well, you better have their digital system with the FedNow app or whatever, right? It's like, how many people are going to say, I don't know about this. Maybe it's the mark of the beast. Maybe it is intrusion on my bank account. Maybe it's this.
But I need my paycheck.
But I need my paycheck. Right, you make it really, really difficult to say no, and you're going to have a lot of the population that complies. Just like with pandemics, just like with the economy, just like with the banks. And so this is the world that we're entering into. But if you're an investor, your goal should be to buy low, sell high, maximize your profits, and that's what we do. And we'll hold your hand through the economy. We'll let you know when it's time to buy, sell, reallocate, do whatever needs to be done. So you don't have to watch those like a hawk. And so, because we do. And now you can do that with an IRA. You can do that with a non-IRA. You can do that with your cash accounts, brokerage accounts. You can take delivery of it at home, or you can have it stored. So many options, and we can't use a cookie cutter approach, Alex, because everybody's different. Everybody has a different need. Is it growth or is it income? Are you close to retirement? Are you young? And that's why we spend so much time educating our clients.
And it's simple. What Boom. Makes they call. Sense. They get a consultation, they talk to you, and you guys want a long-term relationship, and then boom, you deliver it to them or to a repository where they want to have this stored. It's so simple. You're the place to go. Everybody should give you guys a call or send an email right now at kepm.com/goal with your name and number, your info, when you want to talk to them, what the best times are, kepm.com/goal. Send them the email. But even better than that, call. Leave your number. Give them your number. Make the connection. Don't wait. I mean, it's such a simple move to make, and I only promote what I really feel good about. kepm.com/gold or call 720-605-3900.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself, the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. I only encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us, and that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, last segment here with Mike Adams again, folks. Myself and my lawyer from the 1776 Law Center have officially filed a FOIA request. I'm going to have more information on that coming up later, and we'll be talking to the public later as well. I'll give you information on where to find that. But we got one more segment here with Mike, and Mike, I just want to let you kind of just anything else you got on your mind or anything else you want to report or anything else you're thinking or asking yourself in this investigation at this point. I just want to kind of give you the last opportunity to put that out to my audience now.
Well, thank you, Owen. And if you don't mind, I'd like to zoom out beyond this particular investigation and share something really personal and spiritual with you and your audience. Today I released a sermon. It's the first sermon of 100 sermons that I'm releasing over the next 100 days. And I'm also releasing a song very, very soon. It's another rap song. You know, I did Vaccine Zombie and Bailout Money and all these other songs in years past. And I've got a new song called God is With Us. And Owen, I think it's critical that we understand that this is a spiritual war. I know you and Alex and others have spoken about this, but it's very real. And if we don't bring the teachings of Christ and faith into our lives here, then we don't have what's necessary to face off against this intense evil that is now being deployed against us. You know, the principalities and the power of darkness that is dominating our world. You saw that with, you know, the Olympics and all the insanity and the trying to kill Trump. We are facing serious times of serious darkness, but we can navigate it. We can survive it. We can make it through when we act with faith and with the courage that comes with faith. And that's what I'm doing. I feel called to do this, Owen. And I know that you're a man of faith. And without faith, you couldn't have gone through what you've been through and how they've tried to silence you and persecute you. And I just want to say, I share that with you, brother. And we're going to make it through this together, you and me and our audiences and America all combined. We're going to make it through this.
You know, I tend to believe that. And you know, all of us kind of go through phases. We can't help it. We're emotional beings of, okay, we're all screwed, doom and gloom, to no, the future is bright. We're going to get through this and it's going to be better than ever. You know, I tend to believe we're going to go through worse stuff, but on the other side, it will be better. I'm not sure what that really looks like politically. But I think that once we kind of, I believe the next 100 days through the election are going to be completely insane. And yes, then the 70 so days until the inauguration of, let's say, President Trump are going to be even more insane. But you know what? I think what's happening, Mike, is a lot of Americans, let's just call them normies, specifically Americans in the media or normies in Congress, that still don't really understand what we're up against, at least to this point, or still don't really fully understand the nature of what it is that's trying to destroy our country, destroy our livelihood. You know, as things get crazier, and I mean, you just look at the assassination attempt, the normies are going to start to get it. I think that they're slowly but surely going to start to get it, and there's going to be some survival instincts that kick in. There's going to be some common sense instincts that kick in. And they're going to start to think and feel and talk like we do and take the necessary political actions in order to save this country. And I think that that's kind of the crucible that we're going through right now is, yeah, you know what? 10 years ago, they might have called us conspiracy theorists. Tomorrow, they're going to realize, oh, I've been living in a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And people need to realize this is not a political battle. This is a spiritual battle. The political projections are rooted in the real spiritual war. And the opposition to America, the opposition to life, they don't want to just push communism or Marxism. They want to push death. They want to destroy our world. They want to destroy humanity, and they want to destroy God's creation, which is why they celebrate abortion. They celebrate it, even post-birth abortions. And they have been afflicted with actual demonic energies inside them. Doesn't mean they can't one day reject that and turn to God and change their lives. That option is always available, even to the most wicked, by the way. But for those of us who are already on the side of good, we have to go beyond just thinking that faith alone will solve everything. We have to have faith with action. I was speaking in today's sermon about Ephesians chapter 6, about the armor of God. And even in verse 11, it says we have to put on the armor of God. You know, it doesn't say like the armor will magically appear around you and you don't have to do anything. It's like, well, you got to put it on. You got to tighten the belt, put on the helmet, the breastplate, the shield. You got to pick it up. And that's what we have to be reminded of here. This is about taking action rooted in faith and rooted in life, because we're fighting for the future of human civilization on this planet. That's what's at stake here. It's not about an election. It's not about Trump or one man or any man or woman. It's about whether God wins or whether Satan destroys our civilization. That's what's at stake.
Well, and you know, many people might not be spiritual or religious, and I think that they're either maybe coming to understand something like that. You look at maybe like a Russell Brand or even an Elon Musk, and they're starting to see that there is something else at play here. This, I can't make any sense of this. Why would a human behave like this? Why would a human want to mutilate children? Why would a human want to deceive children? You know, why would a human want to kill children? Why would a human want to just go to unnecessary wars? And it's kind of going through that and realizing, okay, there's something else at bay here. When you, yes, as a non-evil person, see evil being committed or just blatant lies being committed for evil, you have to question it and you say, well, what the heck is going on? There's something else at play here that I don't fully comprehend. I mean, you look at what they did at the Olympic opening ceremony, and I'm going to cover that coming up shortly. They know what they're doing. They know they put a golden calf out there for a reason. They put a white horse out there for a reason. They desecrated the First Supper imagery for a reason. They do these things for a reason. They hate you.
Yeah, well, they're mocking Christ. They're mocking the church. They're mocking the entire depiction of the Last Supper. They are mocking our faith. You're right. They know exactly what they're doing. And then when they try to pull back with an apology to say, well, we didn't mean to offend anybody. We just want to include everybody. What they mean, I believe, is they want to include all of the creatures of hell. Like, their inclusiveness extends to hell but rejects heaven. That's what they mean, their inclusivity. At least that's my interpretation of what they're doing. And now the evil is so apparent that even among your listeners who may or may not be spiritual. And by the way, I don't attend a church. I don't go to a church, but I am a spiritual, faith-driven person in my life, nevertheless. And part of that reason is because so many of the churches have turned against God. They've become the vaccine pushers. They've become the transgenderism pushers onto children and so on. So I reject those teachings of perverted churches. The church lives within us, Owen. It lives within each and every one of us, and it's just up to each person to come to that moment of realization that, oh my God, either God is with us and we defeat this evil, or we all get destroyed by the demons of literal hell. And that's what we're now seeing. It's becoming obvious.
Well, and it's like they don't even hide it. I mean, they literally dress up like demons. That's not not some subjective observation. I mean, that's an objective observation that they are dressing up like demons. And it started with your drag queen story time. And now it's literally the opening ceremonies for hundreds of millions to see watching around the world. Look at these drag demons. They dress up like demons. So they don't even hide it. And so, yeah, I guess that's a fair way to put it, Mike, is they want diversity. They want inclusion. They want their demons here on earth with us.
Yes. And whether you realize it or not, Owen, you are doing God's work, even if you don't phrase it in that terminology or others. They're doing God's work there at InfoWars. They're exposing evil, fighting for humanity. This is God's work. And whether you realize it or not, or the other host realize it or not, you are walking that path. And that will become increasingly and rapidly more apparent in the next 100 days. You're walking the path. You're doing a great job. And we are so thankful for you, Owen. God bless you.
Well, I'm glad we were able to get you on. And whenever there's more breaking news, if you want to come on here and respond, or if you get somewhere in your analysis you want to report to my audience, go ahead and reach out, and we'll get you back on air.
Happy to do that. There's a lot of investigation still underway. Pleasure to be with you today. God bless you all. Take care.
Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com. All right. When we come back, I'll get into some of this Olympic ceremony stuff. And the symbolism was just so overt. I mean, it's really just outrageous. It was clearly done intentionally. Folks, remember, support us at InfoWarsStore.com so I can give the great Mike Adams a platform to talk about his analysis and his research into all kinds of things, not just the assassination attempt, but all kinds of things like health issues that are very important for everybody, no matter what your politics are. And by the way, we want you to be healthy. That's why we sell top rated, top quality supplements at InfoWarsStore.com, of which are now up to 60% off part of the Save InfoWars mega sale. InfoWarsStore.com. Keep us on the air.
All right, folks, Vitamin Mineral Fusion is finally back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. We just had a shipment come in months ago, and it sold out so fast that we frantically worked to get this back in stock as soon as possible because Vitamin Mineral Fusion is one of our most popular products. Now, the reason that you should be getting this product is for the same reason that you get any other multivitamin product. Our body needs these vitamins, these minerals, and these nutrients in order to live and operate at the most efficient level possible. Now, you should be getting this from InfoWarsStore.com instead of from your pharmacy or your grocery store or with name brands or generic versions, because this has optimal absorption included in it. It's designed for your body to be able to actually absorb all of the nutrients in the most efficient way possible, unlike other competitors on the market that just simply don't operate that way. Now, this includes comprehensive nutritional support. Vitamin Mineral Fusion from InfoWarsStore.com has A, C, D, E, B complex, essential minerals like magnesium, calcium, and zinc. Everything the body needs to survive. It also includes enhanced absorption and utilization. Like I was saying before, this is an advanced multivitamin formulation designed to let your body actually absorb everything so you don't just flush it out like with so many competitors. And finally, it will support energy production and recovery. So make sure you check out Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com right now, not only because this product is an amazing product for anybody in the world to take, but because by purchasing from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep us on the air in this most dangerous time for both InfoWars and our country. We know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that the New World Order is trying to take over and shut down InfoWars and, frankly, shut you down too. So by getting Vitamin Mineral Fusion at InfoWarsStore.com, not only are you fighting for your health, but you're fighting for your country and you're fighting for humanity itself.
We'll be right back. receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.